All right, it's 9:18. We're headed down into the cellar where the door's just opened on its own. Give us a sign that you want to communicate with us.
Nothing.
What are you guys?
Well, I would be more afraid to do this review if it was night, but it's kind of sunny out. What do you say, P1?
Who?
Wait. Oh, snap! Hey, everybody, look who's here filling in for P1 this week. It's that indie chick!
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey! And we're here today to look at The Conjuring because P1's a black man and he was too scared to go.
I would say that's really racist, but...
But you know it's true. Like, do you notice in every one of these movies there is not a person of any minority to be found whatsoever, and if they are, they are 5 miles away from anything that's going on?
I think I saw one black guy, and he went sprinting out 10 minutes in.
Wait, in our theater? Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I actually didn't notice that. But, yeah, we're here to talk about The Conjuring today, people, so...
Conjuring.
Conjuring, yes.
Sorry, Leigh, who doesn't know how to pronounce things?
All right, so I'm going to do a quick plot synopsis, and then we'll get into spoiling this right on here. The plot of this movie follows Ed and, do you remember the investigators' names?
I think it was Lorraine.
Yes, and I thought that was her last names.
Warren.
Oh, you are right. Ed and Lorraine.
Lorraine is a name.
Yeah. It's Ed and Lorraine Warren that this movie is following, and they are asked to investigate the house of the Perron family, which is the mother, Karen, Carolyn, the father, Roger, and daughters, Andrea, Nancy, Christine, Cindy, and April. So, as soon as these guys get into the house, they realize that something's up, because the first...
Well, their dog won't go into the house.
Yeah, and since...
Rule number one, you always have to trust your dog's instinct. If it doesn't go into the fucking house, then you should know that something's up.
Right, you should also know something's up when the next day they find the dog dead.
And then they never speak of it again.
Yeah, so... Immediately, as these guys move into the house, they realize that something's wrong, but... As the movie explains very well, they can't really leave, whether they want to or not.
Exactly.
And that's really it for the basis plot synopsis, so we'll start going through scene by scene. The movie opens up explaining how the Warrens pretty much do their investigative work.
With a creepy-ass doll.
Yeah, with a doll case that these people are realizing. They see that this doll... is constantly in their house, and the Warrens have it baptized.
For those of you who don't know me very well, one of my biggest fears ever is creepy dolls. So, of course, since the movie opens up on a close-up of a doll's face, I shit my pants.
Yes, so for that indie chick's 21st birthday, remember, you send her the movie Child's Play,
she'll
love it.
No!
So... That's how the movie opens, and then we cut right to the Perron family moving into their house. And as we explained, the dog won't go in the house, which is peculiar. Even at night, the dog stays outside.
I kept wanting to call the dog Lassie.
Yeah, until the next morning, they find the dog dead.
Poor Lassie died.
Yeah. So,
I'm sorry, Sadie.
Oh, you are right, it is Sadie. So,
but it's a collie, you're gonna assume that its name is Lassie.
And it was a cute collie.
It was cute.
So...
Why'd the dog have to die?
Well, that's not the only animal that's dying in this house.
I don't give a crap. If a dog dies, I'm going to be pissed.
Right. Another thing that keeps happening is that pigeons and birds are just flying into the house and breaking their nets for no peculiar reason. And this is all happening after the first night. The family finds out that there is a basement with a bunch of stuff in it. If that's a dead giveaway that something bad has happened in this house...
Don't forget the part where they first notice that all the clocks happen to stop at the same sign.
Ah, yes. All the clocks stop at 3:07 in the morning and do not change throughout the whole day. Mm-hmm. So, after numerous paranormal
occurrences?
Yeah, occurrences. Things that are happening, you know, the daughters are getting locked in rooms, the daughters are getting pulled out of their beds, they're getting attacked by ghosts.
Playing hide and clap.
Yeah, playing hide and clap. There's that scene that's in the trailer with the clapping, given the context of the movie, that's actually much creepier.
I have never been so terrified in my entire life.
Right, so...
of something that was already shown in a trailer. Because, like, you're just waiting for it to happen, but everything that's building up is way creepier than what you're shown in the trailer.
Right, so it gets to a point where they're all sleeping in the living room because they're scared shitless. So that's where Ed and Lorraine come into the picture, because Carolyn pretty much goes to one of their classes about paranormal activity and
demonology.
She begs them to come look at the house. And would you know, I'm actually going to start going into what I like about this movie. This movie takes a different approach to supernatural movies because it goes from the perspective of Anne and Lorraine.
Mm-hmm. So normally it goes from the perspective of the family and getting people in that think they know what they're doing, and they're just like, oh, this ghost in the night, and blah, blah, blah. No, Ed and Lorraine know their stuff, and for once, you actually get to see a scary movie where people, it's not like white people are just walking up to things and being like, ooh, I wonder what happens if you do this. No, these white people actually know what they're doing.
Right, and the other thing is that the movie does set up very well, you know, these people can't leave. They can't. Whether they want to in a, like, real life thinking, because they explain that the family tied up all their money in this house. So
not only that, but the demons kind of latched onto them.
Right. From a real life perspective, all their money's in this house, so they can't leave on that aspect. And Ed and Lorraine pretty much explain to them, no, the demons that are in this house, yeah, they're latched onto you like a stick of gum. Kind of like how you step on one in your shoe. If you go anywhere, it's not gonna do shit.
Nope.
But I just love the fact where they go to the house and Ed and Lorraine are like, all right, we're going to do an investigation to see if this house, maybe there's one or two spirits, and then they realize, oh shit, there's like 20.
Mm-hmm.
So
everything's haunted.
Everything's haunted.
It's like Oprah just giving away spirits. You get a demon, you get a demon, everybody gets a demon.
Right, and the reason that this is happening is because there was an old witch that used to live on the farm that sacrificed her baby to Satan. And
before sacrificing herself.
Right. So after her husband condemns her of witchcraft after seeing her kill the baby, she hangs herself and curses anyone who lives upon her farm, which is 200 acres. And the movie does a really good job of explaining not only is the house haunted, but everything that this farm's land is haunted. Is they're like, oh, the kid drowned over there. Someone hung himself over there. A mother committed suicide over there.
I love how they're just acting like it's no big deal. They're just like, oh, this person died. And these people are like, what?
Well, the reason that I like this movie a lot is that I know it scared the piss out of you, but
shut up.
It wasn't really that scary to me. It was more creepy. But the reason that is because Ed and Lorraine, you know, they're experts, so when you see them in there, I get this feeling like, oh, everything's gonna be alright, but I'm really interested to see how they're gonna, like, fix everything. And it's not really until the last, 20 minutes of the film that shit really hits the fan.
Shit was hitting the fan the whole movie, what are you talking about?
I mean, like, on the scale of this movie where, at first it's just like, you know, push, shove, scare here, scare there, but the last 20 minutes, they just crank it up to 10.
Seriously, the whole film, from my perspective, it just seemed like the entire film is just one giant suspense build up to the big moment. Because there's just little things that just keep adding up and up and up. And just the whole payoff in the end is completely worth it.
Right, because what ends up happening at the end is they find out that the spirit possesses mothers.
That was creepy as hell.
And when they possess a mother, they want them to kill at least one of their children. So,
of course, go for the youngest.
Yep. They possess the mother in this movie in a really kind of messed up scene.
You gotta admit, though, that was pretty convincing.
Yeah, no, it was. It's just the way they do the possession in this movie is something I've never seen before. And it was like, we heard a dude scream, oh, shit!
Mm-hmm. No, but like the one thing that I really thought was very effective in this film was the whole power of three thing.
Oh, yes. You should bring that up.
Mm-hmm. The power of three is basically something I learned in a screenwriting class because I'm a nerd and I love referring back to that class because it was my favorite. Basically, first time that you see something very important just kind of drives it home. The second time that you see the same exact thing happen, it's just like a little bit of a reminder. But whenever it happens for a third time, that's whenever the punchline or the payoff comes through. So the big one that really stuck out to me was whenever Ed and Lorraine were teaching a class and they were teaching the kids how somebody becomes possessed. It starts with, oh my gosh, it was...
Oh, crap.
Some word that I can't remember, then oppression and then possession.
Right. But
basically, it's the demon trying to possess your soul by making you feel vulnerable.
What he does is he breaks down your will.
Yes. Like, he basically plays tricks with your mind, shows you things that you really don't want to see, and he even makes you vulnerable physically.
Right.
Which was really... effective.
Because the wife keeps waking up with bruises on her.
Yeah.
So, and they think it's an iron deficiency until they realize that it's the ghost doing that every night.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I will also say is that, so after she gets possessed, that's when this movie, as I said, kicks really in the high gear. It's great until that point because you see how the Warrens are working, like how they're able to catch spirits, all this goat catching tricks that was scaring the audience, but I honestly, it didn't really scare me. I just thought it was more really cool to just watch.
What are we talking about again?
The fact that up until when Carolyn gets possessed, you're really just seeing the Warrens work, how they catch spirits and demons.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to me, you know, there's some suspenseful scenes that they have throughout because you think the ghosts are going to pop up and you maybe think they do, you maybe think they don't. This movie plays a lot of tricks on your mind, but I love the fact that it goes from that angle and it's just really showing how these guys work. And then in the last 20 minutes, that's when it throws everything at you.
You know, the thing that was something that I really enjoyed was it wasn't, here's a demon, here's another demon, like... the audience physically seeing a lot of gore and violence and just terrifying images, it was more mind games.
Right. It's more of, did you think you see that or did you not think you see that? And you do get all of that, you know, what you want from a scary movie, the jump scares, the gore, all that. You kind of get that in the last 20 minutes just for the sake of it. But what I do like about this movie is that unlike those other horror movies that you talk about where it does it out of context, where it's just, oh, it's just here as a scare. This movie, everything, like the jump scares, the gore, it all works in context of with the story.
Yeah, like I said, the power of three.
Right.
And I think you notice that they're going to do that from the very beginning of the movie whenever they were playing that hide and clap game.
Right.
Basically, hide and clap is hide and seek, except you clap, which honestly I think is stupid, but... the person who's the seeker is blindfolded, so they have to find the person by sound. And everybody that's hiding is allowed three claps. So the seeker is blindfolded and walking around, and they say first clap, and somebody claps. And then if they still can't find them, second clap, they clap again. And if they're still having a hard time, they get one more clap.
Right, and there's a really creepy scene towards the beginning where you see one of the haunted dressers... the mother's playing hide and clap with one of the kids, and you see these two hands come out of the dresser and clap, and it's a really cool practical effect.
Yeah, but that was the second time that they were playing hide and clap, and the third time that they're playing hide and clap, it's the mother playing it with whatever is going on in the house.
No, they're not even playing it, really. It's just she hears it, and she's like, oh, she's trying to figure out what's going on, and when she goes into the basement...
the creepy voice comes out.
You hear that, you see that scene from the trailer where she lights a match and the kid comes out of nowhere, claps in, takes it out. So, it's really just this whole thing of, like, it's the first third of this movie, the first act is really consisted of mind games with the Perron family and when do you think these demons are going to come out, when do you think these ghosts are going to come out, and when not.
You never really see anything, though.
Right, and that's the thing. It's all, like we said, it's all based on your mind games. The second act really works because it's Ed and Lorraine Warren, great jobs by Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga.
They did a fantastic job.
Right, and it's really them doing what they do, And even when the stuff's the paranormal stuff is happening to them, it's really cool to see how they're kind of not fazed by it. They understand the danger, but you see them being professionals instead of just being stupid white people.
No, because they've done it a million times before.
Right, and that's what I like about this movie. Yes, it didn't make me as scared, admittedly, but I do like the fact that everything in this movie made sense. There wasn't any, you know, oh, that's a stupid decision moments.
Mm-hmm. No, because, like, every other scary movie, I'm just like, oh my god, stop making white people look bad. Like,
right.
Who would do that in real life? It's dumb.
Right, exactly. And the third act of this movie consists of the possession and exorcism, which is, honestly, I think it's a fantastic exorcism scene that they do with this.
None of that exorcist or the exorcist, oh my god, I'm blanking on the movie. Was that
Exorcism
right
of Emily Rose?
No.
No, The Exorcist, you're correct.
Yeah, I was right. Okay, so, yeah, like, in The Exorcist, it's not, the thing that I really liked about it, you actually see how Carolyn gets possessed. In The Exorcist, you really don't see or
it just kind of happens.
It just happens. It's like, oh, we're going to do an exorcism. But the cool thing is you know how Carolyn gets possessed, and you get to see how she develops throughout the possession and, like, how it takes control before they do the exorcism, which, yeah, it's none of this, like, head-turning, vomiting green shit thing.
Oh, no, there's vomit, but it's real blood.
Oh, god, I hate vomit.
And the possession scene, all the practical effects and everything that they use with this are fantastic. This, I should mention real quickly from, because I study more of the production aspect. This is done by James Wan, who did Insidious and Saw, and this is him, he really, even though this is his most expensive project that he's ever done, he really, dials back the, and lets everything go. It's not like Insidious and Saw, where it's the flashy gore, or it's the jump scares. He really kind of tones himself back and just lets the scenes work itself out, and he's a master of suspense. He's really proving with each and every movie is that he knows the suspense game very well, especially with this.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, I was telling that Indie Chick about this before we started recording, is that James Wan kind of has a calling card where he will add a little dosage of comedy to make everyone feel a little more better, was the word that you used?
Can I just say two things right now?
Sure.
It's that indie film chick.
Okay, whatever.
Oh my god. I'm sorry, you've been reading my blog for how long?
Okay.
So, okay, and once again, coming from an English major, this is really burning my ears. Just better. No more. Just better. Sorry.
Come
sorry,
on.
I'm a grammar Nazi. But
I know. Explain your point.
I don't even remember my point anymore.
It's pretty much that you were saying that you like the fact that he adds two characters.
No, because then I got comfortable.
Right.
Yeah, which, honestly, like, I'm surprised that more horror movies aren't doing that anymore. Like, the whole making you feel comfortable and then all of a sudden, oh, we're just gonna throw you back into the action, and, like, this never happened, but
well, I'm surprised that he took this direction, because I know he got a lot of criticism for adding the comedic element into Insidious.
No, I loved it.
I'm glad that he put it in this movie, because you're right. It is kind of refreshing to see it, especially when everything's going crazy, but
makes it more realistic.
Yeah, movie spoilers are movie spoilers. Let's get into the ending. The ending, they exorcise the mom.
Here's the thing that I really love about this movie. Nobody dies.
You are correct.
This is the first horror movie that I've seen in a while where nobody is killed off, or
I don't think nobody, like, really needs to die in a movie like this. At least that's how I feel.
No, because going back to the whole vulnerability moments and, like, letting the audience relax and take things in a little bit, there's this really touching scene between Lorraine and Carolyn whenever they're exorcising. Yeah, I guess that's how you would say it. Like, whenever they're exorcising her. And it goes back to one of those moments where you're just feeling at ease, but they're doing it at such a fast pace that, I don't know, like, you do remember it.
Right.
Very well.
Well, whenever they're exorcising her, they need her to remember a moment that makes her life worth living. So Lorraine is telling her about when they talk about earlier in the film about a day at the beach that Carolyn was telling her about, how that was the happiest day of her life. And she keeps telling her to remember that day. And it really does drive home the point of, you know, there is that human side and there is that vulnerability to this movie, unlike most movies, which would easily just would have killed her off.
Mm-hmm.
So I do agree with you. I do like the fact that nobody dies in this. And for people like,
except for Sadie.
Right. Except for and for people who are like, oh, does that mean no gore? No, you're gonna get gore in that last 20 minutes, guys. Don't worry.
Holy
and they're
crap.
And it's awesome. It's minimalistic, but it's awesome. So do you have anything else you really want to bring up?
I was gonna say less is definitely more in this film.
I would agree.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna give this a see it. I really enjoyed this, even though it didn't scare me as much as everyone else. I just had fun watching it. I had fun. I really love how they took this from the Warren side instead of just a, like, as you said, it's just a white family, you know, getting scared by ghosts. I love the fact that they bring the experts in and show how they really work.
I think you were the only person in that theater that wasn't watching it from the fetal position. Yeah. I'm just saying. No, I'm definitely going to give it a see it through, but maybe next time not through the palms of my hands or holding my best friend's hand while watching this thing, because I get easily freaked out by anything exercising and possession related. But this one, it was different. Like, I never get scared too easily with scary movies nowadays. And this one just seemed very realistic, and I really love the whole human aspect to it, like actually putting in emotions and making it seem relatable to an everyday audience. So I'm definitely giving it a see it.
All right, so you know what we got to do next, right?
What?
We got to trick P1 into thinking that he's seeing an early cut of Captain America 2, mm-hmm. and we just got to tie him down, let him see this, and then...
No, you got to go Clockwork Orange.
Oh, that's right, we do need that, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
All right, good night, everyone.
See ya.
We have to get out of here.
That's not going
to
help.
This thing has latched itself to your family.
Father, we never seen nothing like this.
I'm coming with you.
No way. I can't lose you.
There's a lady in a dirty nightgown that I see in my dreams. She's standing in front of my mom's bed.